Today we're actually starting a short three-week series on knowing God. And I'm not sure what you are thinking about when you read that title. It might bring different things to mind. But probably the reality is that for each of us, we're all in different places on our journey of getting to know God, and it might actually mean different things to different people depending on where you're at. And you know, for some people, they know that they don't know God. They don't believe in God. Right? They don't think you can know God. That's where they're at. For other people, you know, they believe in God, but they don't believe that you can get to know Him personally. You know, you can know Him. Knowing Him is a belief set. It's not actually, it's not a personal relationship. For others, they believe in God. They study the Scriptures. They know lots about Him, but they don't know God. They actually just know a lot about Him. You know, other people, they actually, you know, they know God, but it's just the beginning. They didn't realize that there's actually a whole lot more. They're not hearing that God's calling them into more. There's a deeper, wider journey in His kingdom available to Him that He's calling them into. For some people, you know God. You're walking with Him daily. It's 24/7 experience of just listening, staying with Him, keeping in step with His Spirit. For some of us, you know, we know God, but our relationship with Him has not been tested yet. You know, we haven't gone through those places. We don't know if the seeds in our life are actually on good soil or the roots gone deep or there's thorns. You know, we haven't gone through testing of the relationship yet. So what we're going to do is just, for 3 weeks, we're going to actually look at this topic of knowing God, but acknowledging that actually it will mean different things to different people, and we could actually be on slightly different journeys here, each of us. Let's acknowledge that from the beginning. And so today the simplicity is we're going to look at knowing God. What does that mean? And then next week, we're going to look at knowing God more, actually the beginning of getting to know and have a relationship with the Lord is just the beginning. There is more. And then the third week, we'll be looking at knowing God in all seasons and all terrains. It's very different to know God on the mountain versus knowing God in the valley. You know, it's really different knowing God when things are going well versus when you get thrown into a shipwreck like Paul, or you're thrown in prison. And I suppose the hope there is actually acknowledging that so that we are prepared and ready for whatever is coming in our life, whatever is around the corner. And so I suppose my hope and my desire is that as we journey together, it awakens in all of us a desire for an intimate connection with the Lord on a daily basis, that it awakens us a desire for more of knowing Him, that we can actually go deeper and further with who He is and His kingdom here in our midst, and that it actually prepares us. It prepares us for what is next in our life. We don't know what the future holds for each of us. The path that all of us will walk will be different, and that the Lord knows. And no matter what storm comes our way, that our life is built on the rock. That is the hope, that we know Him and we cling to Him, whatever is in front of us. So let's pray, and then let's go there. Let's do this journey for a few weeks home. Lord, we love You. And I just pray that You just meet each of us where we are. I thank You that You know where each of us is. And I pray that You lead us gently into the next step of knowing You and knowing You more, Lord. We acknowledge that each of our lives are different. We've all come from different places and experienced different things. And we want to walk closely with You. And so I pray for Your grace as You lead us closer to You, so that we know You more. Amen. Okay, so I suppose the first point is you can know God. God is not out of reach. God is not distant. God is not absent. God is not silent. He is present and with us. Because of what Jesus has done, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and receive what He has done on the cross, we can know God. To know God as our Lord, to know God as our Savior, to know God as our King, but also to know God as our friend. To walk with Him, to talk with Him, to listen to Him, to know his power, to know his presence through every aspect of our life. It's not just knowing about him. It's not just being able to quote him. It is relationally knowing him. And just before Jesus was arrested and crucified, Jesus was praying in the garden, and he's praying to the Father, and he reveals an amazing insight on what we have received of the relationship that has been made available to us through Jesus Christ. So let's read that and just rest in that for one moment. The beginning of Jesus' prayer goes like this. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Have you ever thought about eternal life in that way? That the gift of eternal life that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ is that we will know God and that we will know Jesus. That is the gift of eternal life. We get to know him here in this world. We come into a relationship with him here in the midst of the sins, the struggles, and the tears that this world has. After we die, we will still know him forever. In a new heaven, in a new earth, with no more sins, no more struggles, no more tears. That is our inheritance. That is what we receive, a relationship with God. You can know him. And Jesus prays through a whole range of other things, and then he finishes his prayer, and we're going to go to the end of his prayer here and read together. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The world does not know the Father. That's not a surprise when you're out there talking with people and experiencing daily life. That's like, well, that's not news to us. There's a whole lot of people there that do not believe in God, do not have faith, and do not care. That's probably what we experience. But Jesus has made the Father known, and he will continue to make the Father known. But how? How does Jesus continue to make the Father known? How? When Jesus prayed this prayer, he was present in the flesh, he was visible. He then died. He was raised from the dead. He ascended to heaven. Now Jesus is invisible. You can't see him. I just had the moment of turning my pages too quickly. Have you ever had that before? And so Jesus is there in the flesh, but he's not here in the flesh with us. Jesus is invisible to us, and the Father is invisible. We can't see him. Now his work is visible. We can, you know, miracles, signs, wonders, we can see these sort of works. His fruit is visible. We can see the fruit of a changed life. When the Spirit is working in someone's life, with peace, patience, kindness, the change that occurs within someone. Jesus teaches us to look for the fruit, the evidence of what God has been doing in someone's life as proof of someone who is actually from God. So we can see the fruit. But God, the Father, is invisible. And so how can you have a relationship with an invisible Jesus? How can you know and get to know an invisible God? What does that look like? How does that actually work? And we get an amazing insight given to us in the Gospel of John, where Jesus goes through the fact that the Holy Spirit is the way to know God, that the Holy Spirit is the way that we have a relationship with Jesus. And he goes through in all these details that when we talk about having a relationship with God, when we talk about the fact that the gift of eternal life is to know God, it comes back to the fact that he has given his Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit we will know him, we will have a relationship with him. So let's read together all of what Jesus said. Pay attention to the bold. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, or I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. We're going to keep reading. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Are you beginning to see the picture here? The Holy Spirit will be given. You will know him who lives in you. He will help you, be with you. He will teach you. He will remind you. We're going to keep going. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. We're going to keep going. We're almost there. Pay attention to the bold. When the Advocate comes, it's another adjective word to describe the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father. What will he do? He will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. We're almost there. Next one. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, what will he do? Prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. All of these are the things that the Holy Spirit does within us. Where is he? He's in us. We will know that he is in us. What is he doing? He is teaching, reminding, testifying, proving the world to be in the wrong. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will guide you. He will speak. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. When you put it all together like that, and you start to see who the Holy Spirit is and what he is doing and how he is outworking his relationship within us, it's impossible to ignore. How do you know the Father? How do you know Jesus? His Holy Spirit comes and makes his home in us. From that place, he will teach you, help you, be with you, show you what is to come. He will convict you of sin. He will glorify Jesus. He will testify about Jesus so that you will overflow and testify about Jesus. You have God in you, God with you, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and are filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes and lives in you, and the unity that he has with the Father, you now receive that unity as you remain and walk in the will of God. When we talk about knowing God, when we talk about having a personal relationship with him, we're talking about knowing and relating to his Holy Spirit that he has gifted to all those who believe. There's a period in our life, and when I say our, I'm talking about Carlene, me, Reese, and Lily. It's just over 10 years ago where the Lord suddenly opened up space in our life and the opportunity to minister to the wider church for a period of time. And at that time, we traveled a lot around the world for about just over three years. And we look back on that period of our life in hindsight. At the time, we probably didn't quite realize all that God was doing. But we look back on that period in hindsight and sometimes refer to it as our supernatural boot camp. It was this period of our life where the Lord was awakening in us an understanding that God was with us, that he was talking, that he was teaching, that we could actually listen and obey and trust him, and he would build his church. He would network. He would give the words. He would provide the resources. And it was this period of time where he would introduce us to a way of living that we'd read about in the scriptures or we'd heard about, but it wasn't our experience. And then he would give us a story and an experience of a truth that we had not experienced. It was really dramatic and kind of like, that's so cool. And then we would realize that we could live like this, and it became our everyday normal, living from that place of knowing God and his spirit in us. And so I'll share some of these stories just to give a picture of just kind of the journey that, we experienced at that period in our life. So one story goes like this. We had on our heart at this time to take a sabbatical. It was like this, but it wasn't possible just in terms of resourcing at that time. And then soon after that, we suddenly received this check, and there's a little note in it just saying, look, we felt like the Lord wanted you to go on a sabbatical, and then suddenly the whole thing became possible. We got so excited about that, and so we started planning this trip to California. That was where we felt that the Lord wanted us to go, and then bought the flights, and then we're starting to plan the trip for 6 weeks. At this point, we're going with two little kids. Reese and Lily were a bit younger then, so Lily was, what, probably about three, Reese was one, and we're about to go for 6 weeks to California. And we're starting to book everything, and it's getting really, really late at night. It's just not working. It's not affordable. Can't make it work. And stressed out. And in the middle of that, the Lord just said, use all your money for the first 2 weeks and trust me to provide for the rest. And then peace. And the craziness of that word, but the peace that came with it, empowered us to kind of take that step. So we did. So we booked the first 2 weeks, and on top of that, we felt to stay in these locations that weren't exactly like, I don't know, it wasn't camping. There was a hotel that we felt to stay in. It became really like a burden. We need to stay there. Anyway, so we go over to California. We're there for 6 weeks. We've got 2 weeks sorted and 4 weeks. We don't know what's going to happen. And we end up in this hotel on our last couple of nights there. The pool is broken. We end up in the spa. And we end up talking with this family that are there. And they had won a night in the hotel. So they were locals. They were only there because they'd won a night. And they said, come back to our house. And we're like, okay, yeah, let's do that. And so we went back to their house. And so they were part of a Christian community and a church there. They introduced us to their friends and to their church. And we ended up spending time with their home group. And then, boom, suddenly from that, all of these homes and places opened up for us for the next few weeks as we traveled around. Literally, we got given a place to stay on the border of Yosemite National Park, amongst other things. And in that moment, it was the beginning of going, if we are willing to do the things that God asks us to do, then we can actually move into the plans that he's prepared rather than the plans that we might have prepared. And then from that, we suddenly have this whole new network of relationships that for the next 3 years we went back and spent time with. But it came out of this place of the Lord teaching us that we can live differently. We can listen to his voice, we can trust and obey, and we can go. On that same trip, we found ourselves kind of heading towards, we were in Northern California, and then we felt like the Lord to go to Lake Tahoe. So we start driving there. On the way, we went to buy lunch, and the car declined. we couldn't buy lunch, and so we had the petrol left in our tank to get to Lake Tahoe, and we're just praying the whole way. We're going, Lord, we have no idea what's going on. This is just stretching us beyond breaking point. We'd got used to the fact that God was just doing all these things and we could trust him, so we just kept driving and driving, and it became even just a prayer. Where do we go? What are we doing? Go left, go right. And he took us all the way to this campground. So we end up at this campground. We've got no ability to stay or pay. And we walk in there, and they said, look, sorry, but our FPOS terminals are all down. Could you pay tomorrow? Yes, that's wonderful. So we stayed that night. The next day, there had been a transfer made to our account. Someone had given something to us, and we paid for that night. We were there for one or two nights, and then they were fully booked out, and we had to go. We still did not have the next accommodation sorted. We were off to this other house we'd been given. So we had to spend some time in Lake Tahoe, but now there was a golf tournament there. And every place was booked out. Again, remember, we've got a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And we could not find, at this point we had the ability to pay for accommodation, but there was no accommodation. We went around motels and hotels, we went back to the camps, no. So we just drove out into the forest, just kind of driving, just desperate, and we parked by this lake and we start praying and we felt the Lord say, go back to the campground. Like, what? So we go back to the campground. I think it was me that walked in the first time. I walked in and I said, nah, sorry, we're fully booked out. So we came back and sat in the car. And now we're just disheartened. We're just like, this is not going well. And we just started praying and praying. And then suddenly the Lord said, go in now. And I'm like, what? And we just were struggling to obey that. But it became a burden for both Carleen and I. Go in now. It just became really clear. So this time Carleen went in. And then she comes out beaming. And they'd had a cancellation for 4 days and we just got it. And while she's receiving the cancellation, someone else came in to ask for space. And you know, Carleen had just received and got it. And it was like, what? And so what was happening was the Lord was saying, you can listen to me, obey me, and I will build my church, and I will provide, and I will put you where you need to be. And he's doing it in a crazy way where I can tell a story like this. Those stories don't keep continuing. But it was almost like a way of him teaching us. You can trust me. You can know me. I've got it sorted. I'll share one more. And so this one was, again, another year praying with a friend, and he had been invited to lead a worship conference in Uganda. And as we were praying, we felt we should go together. Okay, so we start arranging to get there. As part of the plans, they are going to Germany first, up to Berlin. We keep praying, and we keep feeling like the Lord's saying, go to Hamburg. That makes no sense because they're going to Berlin, but every time we pray, the Lord says, go to Hamburg. So we book our flights to Hamburg, and then after that, I'm not sure, it was 1 or 2 weeks later, we're at a prayer meeting or something, and someone says, oh, you're going to Hamburg. We know some people there. And they connected us with that. And they picked us up from the airport. We stayed with their community and had an amazing time with them in Hamburg. Wouldn't have happened had we not booked our time for Hamburg. I then find myself in Uganda, and lots is happening, and I'm not involved in anything, and I'm kind of going, what am I doing here, Lord? One night I was in the accommodation, I was just praying, Lord, what is going on? Why have you brought me all the way down to Uganda? It's taken so much effort to get here. And now I'm here doing what? You know? And then I just heard the Lord say, get ready. I was like, get ready for what? And then the next morning, the person that we had been liaising with came to speak to us and said, look, our conference speakers have pulled out. Can you guys do the speaking? They drive us up to the border with southern Sudan, and we're then in this community, in this large shed, preaching for 2 days to all of these pastors that have come from around Uganda. And at that point, I'm paraphrasing here, you know, the Lord's saying, well, this is why I brought you here. And it became this awareness and this lesson of go because I said so, not because you know why. And then once you get there, you know, again, the plans that the Lord has made, you can actually step into them. And so this brought about for us this awakening of the fact that God is alive, present, talking and listening. If we're willing to listen, trust and obey, there's a completely new way of living in his kingdom, of him building his church, of his providing and networking and doing the things that he wants to do. If you plan it, none of that would have happened. If you just say yes to what he's doing, it's a completely different journey. And so I suppose that's just a way of illustrating some of the things that we're talking about. At that time, we had read scriptures about all these things happening, but it hadn't been our experience. And then it became our experience, and it changed our life forever. The characteristic of knowing Jesus in us, of his Holy Spirit leading, teaching, guiding, is the same for all of us. Same Holy Spirit living in us. But he will ask us to do different things. He will say different things. It will look completely different for each of us. It will not look the same. And so as the Lord leads each person, you won't have the same stories that maybe I have talked about or someone else that you are speaking to. It won't be the same. It will not look the same, which is why we have major problems if we start comparing stories. You know, or if we say, oh, man, my life's not looking like that at all. I'm actually, you know, spending a lot of time in the corporate world. And then we kind of can start to minimize the fact that the Holy Spirit is with us in the corporate world, leading and guiding the same way that he might be if someone's sent on more of a missionary journey. And so the characteristics of God in us, who we have just talked about, teaches and guides and reminds and shows us what is to come and speaks to us, is the same for all of us, but it will manifest completely differently. So our reference point can never be another person. It can only be the Lord our God and what he is asking us to do. And then almost you can actually start to see as he moves in power and as you see him connect and work, it testifies to what is going on in your life. So knowing Jesus is also a daily, tangible experience, quantifiable reality. You can actually talk about your experience of God through your day. It's not something that is just contained to a prayer time at the beginning of the day or when we gather together and we experience the Spirit as we're worshiping, which we do, you know, and we do when we have prayer time or go up a mountain of solitude. We will have times of incredible intimacy with him where the Spirit and God in us will teach us and gift us things that are harder to receive when we're in the busyness and the noise. Those things are really important. But it's a 24/7 awareness of his presence, keeping in step with the Spirit. It's not a once a moment kind of thing. And you start to become familiar with God in you, that when he's pulling the handbrake, you start to experience that within you. When he's pushing the accelerator, then you start to experience that dynamic within you. You become aware of when you are actually being disobedient. You know, and so you're starting to go this way, and the Holy Spirit and God in you is saying, no, I need you to go this way. And you start to experience the tension of not being close to Jesus. It's something that you feel and become aware of. And it's like, ooh, that's not good. And so that it starts to become a cue to draw you back into that place of obedience, of remaining in him. It's not theory. It's something that you can feel. And it becomes one of those things where you don't want to do anything without him. It becomes a companionship and a partnership that you only want to be doing his will and be doing what he is doing. You don't want to go into any battle that he's not sending you into. As the, you know, the journey from through Exodus, through the desert. And so you become really interested in, is this where God wants me? And is this where God wants you to go? Because you only want to be where he is. And so it becomes a companionship and a partnership, and it becomes harder to do things by yourself without him. Does that make sense? Because it's awakened in you an awareness that there is joy and peace and blessing when you stay close to him, and you can feel it and you can know him, and you can actually keep in step with the Spirit, not because you have got a knowledge of that scripture, but because you are actually sensing the pace of what Jesus is asking you to do. When he wants you to speak, it kind of wells up and takes over. You can actually experience his power in your body. These things are things that you could talk about and become very, very familiar with. And so these things that we see in the scripture are talking about experiences that are available to us in Christ. It's 24/7 daily, and in that place, we then experience unity with the Father. Because as we stay in step with the Spirit, we're staying in Jesus who is in us. That was in those scriptures that we were reading about. You have a think about that. Christ in us. We are then in the Father's will, and we're experiencing the unity that comes from being with him in all situations. Let me read a conversation between Ananias and Jesus. Now, this conversation happened after Jesus died, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven. So have a think about that. This is a conversation with the invisible Jesus. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. We just got to pause on this. There's this conversation going on with Jesus. Jesus talks, Ananias responds, they are talking. Jesus knows what's going on for Paul because Jesus was very involved with that Damascus Road experience, and he's just kind of prepping Ananias about something before he gets there. Lord Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Ananias said, yes, Lord, I will go. After wrestling with him, what do you mean you're sending me to this guy? This guy's actually been kind of standing there as I think he was even there when Stephen was being stoned to death. You know, like, what are you doing? He wrestled with the Lord on what he was being asked to do, but then he's like, yes, I will do it, despite the concerns I initially had. It's almost okay to wrestle with the Lord and seek encouragement for something he's asking you to do. I hear you, Lord, I'm finding this hard. Can you help me to overcome the barrier in my heart? And in that moment, the Lord was like, go. It became a little bit more, you need to do this. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. This conversation is a remarkable illustration of what is available to us now, that we can actually enter into that communion and that dialogue with the Lord. It comes in many different ways as the Holy Spirit will talk to you. I've shared some of them today. At the beginning of Acts, we see Peter stands up and talks about Joel, that they will prophesy, they will receive visions. And when Pentecost came, actually, one of the things that's often stood out to me is they heard the wind coming, the sound of wind. They could see the flames of fire. Then they were all suddenly speaking in tongues. And so it almost gives you some insight into the characteristics of the Holy Spirit at work. You can hear, you can see, and then you'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit when he is in your life. And it comes in different ways. Like, some people get dreams. I hardly ever get dreams. I can probably count on my hand the number of times that God has actually spoken to me in a dream. But one time, I had a dream. I woke up, I was just talking about it with Carlene, and then she said, I had exactly the same dream that night. And it was about someone that we had not seen for ages, and the dream had kind of empowered this whole process of needing to engage with him, and I was almost ready to write it off, but Carlene had the same dream, so I got in the car and went and visited that person that morning. That's been a rare experience for me, but for some people, that experience is more common. I mean, another experience that happened last year, and at the time I wasn't aware of it, so I think I was going to bed, and I was like, man, when was the last time we saw this family? Because it's someone we hadn't seen for ages. So I went back to my text message records. And it was like, man, we hadn't seen them for like 8 years. So I was like, man, we just haven't seen these or actually been in touch with them for 8 years. Then the next day, I was in a shop. It was actually AS Colour. Who's been to AS? Anyway, I'm not promoting AS Colour, but so side point. And they were there. The person was there. And I was like, what's up with that? I could not ignore that, because the day before, suddenly it had been cued in my heart. We had not been thinking about them. We had not been in correspondence with them. And then the very next day, I bump into them. And so you're like, oh, the Lord had prepared me to not ignore this bump. And so we caught up and had a meal. But at the point when he was preparing me, I wasn't actually like, oh, man, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to me. It was actually a thought process that kind of took hold of me and actually prepared me before the event that occurred. So, okay, so having a spiritual relationship with Jesus, knowing God, knowing his Holy Spirit in us, does not remove the need for a relationship with other people. And well, why? If you've got the creator of the universe with you, talking to you, telling you what to do, where to go, why do I need to listen to somebody else? You know, why would I need other people? If you've actually got God with you who knows everything and can control everything, why would you need other people? Well, let's talk about that, because it really matters that we understand that. When you actually are knowing God and he's awakened his spirit in your life and you're walking with him, you absolutely need other people, and that will never, ever disappear. Last week, we caught up with a couple that we hadn't seen for ages. It had been booked in for a few months. And they just started talking about things that had been on our heart, things that we'd been thinking about. And it was super encouraging, and it became like an encouragement and a confirmation of things that had been going on in our heart. We needed it. We needed that encouragement. We needed that confirmation from someone else. And we were so grateful for that. And so God purposely will not give everything to you, even though you have an awakening of a relationship with him. He distributes his gifts, his wisdoms, his truths, his resources across all of his people so that together we have everything that we need. It is also a safeguard, because in that place, not only can we receive encouragement and fellowship with other people, but we receive confirmation and testing in the process of being together and sharing what God has given to us to other people. There is this testing that occurs in that process. It is purposeful, it is intentional. An awakening of a relationship where you know God is always going to mean that you're going to know God in community, because he's going to give what you need to other people. That will never go away, because we are a team, that are like a sports team. We will win this game together. You know, we're an orchestra. Like, that was a beautiful example, you know. Together, as everyone plays their instrument, the song is sung. Together, as each of us does our part and is faithful to what God's asking us to do, God's kingdom will be built. Jesus will be glorified. People will come to faith in him together. It is never going to be a solo act. You will never receive everything you need directly from your personal relationship with the Spirit. It will be our relationship with the Spirit. And it brings up another question, which it has to be talked about, which is, what about the Scriptures? You know, what's the place of the Scriptures in this journey? And so for me, I found it helpful to kind of put it like this. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. Did you see that when you were reading that? A couple of times he talks about the Spirit of Truth. And frequently in his ministry, he says, I tell you the truth. Right. So I found it helpful to see it like this. You know, we have the written truth and we have the Spirit of Truth. They're the same voice. You know, the Scriptures that we receive and the Holy Spirit who continues to do his work in and amongst us, same voice. And so anything that the Holy Spirit speaks to you, when he teaches you, guides you, reminds you, tells you what is to come, will never contradict the Scriptures. It will always line up. There is no need for anything else. And so the Holy Spirit in us is personalizing the truths that we've received in a dynamic daily outworking. And he's orchestrating his people and relationships and resources, but there is no need for anything beyond the truths that we've already received. And so the Scriptures remain an absolute key for understanding the Holy Spirit's voice. They never contradict each other. They are the same voice. Amen? Does that make sense? And I know that we know that, but it's as you start to talk more about a life in the Spirit, it can kind of go, oh man, where does that go? But actually, when we have the anchor point of the written truth, it becomes the blueprint for our testing. And so we are called to test and discern everything that God is saying and doing in our own life and other people. When someone comes to us and says, I believe I've got this word for you, or I want to give this to you, it's a spiritual process of being in community together, because we are then going, Jesus, are you in this? We are discerning within ourselves. And the Spirit will rise up in us when there's a unity in terms of what the person is saying or the events that are occurring around you. Or he'll recede like a tide going out when there is actually a check in terms of what someone is saying or what someone is doing. And that process of testing should not change for anyone. Even if you know someone that loves the Lord and they have actually been really helpful in your life in terms of the things that they have said, you should always test and check in with the Lord on what is being said and what is being done. Because all of us, sometimes we slip and make mistakes. And so we should never actually receive anything without testing it. It should be a process of constantly checking in with the Lord and referencing the Scriptures that we've been given. But the Scriptures are not our destination. We inherit eternal life, which is knowing God. Our destination is a living relationship with God now and forever. Amen. So let's wrap this up. this is the beginning of 3 weeks of we're going to go deep with this, we're going to explore it further, and we're going to finish up with when tough things happen, how do you keep walking in step with the Spirit when things are not what you're expecting or not what you're thinking? But for today, let me ask you a few questions, and then we're just going to have a little bit of time of prayer as the worship team comes up. You can know God, and that's actually theologically, it's quite a simple concept, isn't it? It's not theologically a complex thing for us to talk about. But just because it's simple, is it your reality? Do you know him? Knowing God is knowing Jesus in you. Are you experiencing Jesus in you? Knowing God in you is a 24/7 experience. Are you aware of Jesus always all through your day? Or has your faith journey become boxed, you know, in places through your week? Knowing God is in you is also knowing God in fellowship with others. Are you sharing what God has given to you with others? Are you receiving what God's given to others to you? Are you discerning that? Or is that actually a spiritual process for you? Maybe you have already experienced an awakening of the Holy Spirit's leading, guiding, and power in your life. Maybe what we're talking about today, it's like, man, this has been my experience. But maybe you're on a journey of learning more about this. Maybe this is actually new. Maybe this is something that you have not experienced before. Maybe you've not heard the voice of the Spirit or felt his power or experienced his encouragement. The wonderful thing is that when you call out to Jesus, when you come to him, he will come to you. And sometimes what we need to hear is that there is a relationship available. Sometimes we did not realize that this was available. And sometimes that's all we need to cross the threshold and go, Jesus, I want that so much. I don't want to be stuck with just knowing about you and to kind of doing the religious practices. I want to know you. I didn't realize that there was a life in you where I could have this kind of dynamic, whether it's on the building site and the construction site, when you're on the sports field or you're sent out like missionaries, wherever it is. I didn't know that was available, but maybe that's maybe that's the beginning of awakening, a change of your prayer life, is you're like, I want that. But the thing that also it starts to touch on is that once you get to know someone, you get married. 20 years later, you know them a lot more. The blessing of journeying with an eternal God is there's more. And so what you have tasted of him so far, don't stay there. There's more. There is more available in him that he wants to take over every aspect of your life. He wants to introduce you to his sovereign power in every aspect of your life. He wants you to experience the blessing of knowing him 24/7 through your day. There's more, so don't stop at the place where you have got to know him. Go deep with him in every part of your life. So let's pray. I'm going to invite the worship team up. And hopefully this is a journey of each of us taking the next step in our relationship with him, wherever we happen to be, acknowledging that we're probably all standing in slightly different places.